always a privilege to speak to you out of God's Word. And this morning I want to consider ways that Christians have momentum in their lives. God has given us some fantastic resources. We've been singing about them all morning, in fact. And maybe some of the words of some of the songs we've been singing today will just come back into your mind as we go on this morning. The story is told of a man who, after the end of the Second World War, wanted to save up to buy a ticket. He wanted to travel from London to New York by boat. He was coming from battered Europe. He just wanted a new start after seeing everything in his own country demolished by the war. But he was poor, and he could only afford a fourth-class ticket. And on a liner in those days, a fourth-class ticket meant you went right down in the bottom of the boat. You had no windows, and the accommodations were dreadful. And so down he went with his ticket into the depths, found his tiny room, his hard bunk bed. And the boat took off, and every single time mealtime rolled around, he would watch all of these richer people who could afford better tickets on the boat go off and have their food. And after 3 days, his own food that he had brought with him on the boat ran out. Hungry, he watched them going off to get their breakfast, lunch, and supper again and again. And when it got to day 6, he decided that he must go and find some scraps somewhere. And so he sneaks upstairs, and he's caught nicking a little bread roll by an officer of the ship. The officer thinks immediately that this not so well-dressed man must be a stowaway, so he grabs a hold of him and says, "Oi, what are you doing?" The man is afraid, he's very apologetic, he explains his hunger, and he appeals to the compassion of the officer. And the officer says, "My dear fellow, just let me see your ticket." And he looks at this man's fourth-class ticket, and he said, "You have a full ticket. I know it's only full class, but did you realize that this comes with all the meals?" He never knew. Sometimes we live our Christian faith like that. Follow with me these words of Scripture from Colossians 3. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." This letter was written by Paul at the same time that he was under house arrest in Rome. It's a well-known teaching about the treasure of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you through the hope of glory, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul insists that we see several things here about Christ. He wants us to know and to realize that Christ is Lord of all. He wants us to realize that Christ is the is the agent that God used to create all things. He wants us to realize that Christ is the agent through which God is reconciling every single person to himself. That's me, that's you, that's everyone in the world. And that he is doing this by the peace that comes from the blood of Jesus. Some translations say the peace of Christ. Some say the peace of God. But actually, these are the same. Jesus Christ is God. And peace is his legacy. Jesus said to the disciples, and he meant it for us as well, he said, "My peace I give to you." Not peace as the world knows it, but my peace. Only Jesus, because Jesus is God, can give us that kind of a peace. Peace is something that Jesus can give you. And let's be really clear. Christ is all in all. And the basic failure of the church in Colossae, to whom this letter was written, was that they were a group of believers who were not holding fast to the Lord. Were they Christians? Yes, they were. Did they say they loved Jesus? Yes, they did. Did they gather for church? Absolutely. But the thing that Paul had against them was he said, "You are not holding fast to the Lord." And here's a foolproof test for every single one of us. The place that Christ holds in any kind of religious teaching determines whether it is true or false. Somebody comes along to you and says, "Christianity teaches this," or "Christianity says that." You have to first ask yourself, where is Jesus the Christ in all of this? And if he doesn't feature, reject it. It's very simple. And the Bible is so, so clear about our position in Christ. In Colossians 2, we're told that we are united in Christ. In the same chapter, we're told that we are complete in Christ and that we are dead in Christ. In Romans, we're told that we are buried with Christ. And in this chapter in Colossians, we are told that we are risen up again with Christ. Christ is all in all. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then Christ is your life. In Colossians 3, verse 3, we read, "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Isn't that amazing? If you are a follower of Jesus, then Christ is your life. The Christian life is not a creed, and it's not a system of teachable laws or even a certain style of worship. The Christian life is simply Jesus. We've been in our house where we live for almost 6 years. At the end of our road, up at the top of our road, for nearly all of that time, there has been a very run-down house. A house that Rose and I have often walked past and say, if we had the money, we would love to buy that and do something with it. Ugly, broken, needing lots of repairs. Until earlier this year. Now we walk past that house and it looks like a brand new mansion. It's amazing. The amount of work that's gone into it is incredible. It's got a new roof, it's got a new garden, it's got new plaster and paint on the walls. It looks fabulous now. I've not yet seen who's living there, but to me it is obvious that home has a new owner. When we let Jesus own our house, us, me, he repairs, he restores, he fixes up, and we look different. That's really what letting the message of Christ dwell in you richly means. And so we teach and we admonish one another. We find that our lives become illuminated by the Bible and by how the Holy Spirit begins to talk to us and minister to us. We continue to accumulate wisdom that comes from the Lord Himself. And we find our hearts becoming so full of all of this that we just want to worship. And we simply want to minister in different ways and with different expressions. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's amazing. Did you know that in those early times, Christians would gather for prayer and for worship? So much under the authority of Jesus. They had invited Jesus into their house. They had said, Jesus, you own this place. Fix it up. And they were so filled with the Holy Spirit. They were listening to him so keenly. They were allowing him to overrule in their lives. So much that they simply started to worship. And they worshipped him by reading the scripture together. We read of Psalms being read here, singing songs that they knew, and then just making up new songs as they went along because they brought an expression of praise to God. And they called these gatherings that they had agape, love feasts. Oh, wouldn't it just be incredible to see more and more love feasts in Maybridge? Wouldn't it be fantastic if our partnership groups began to experience love feasts to Jesus? I tell you, we'd be changed. We'd be very different. But before we can even start on doing the whatever you do bit, we have to rid ourselves of our old nature. That's hard. That's impossible, some people say. But it can be done. Paul said, this is how you do it. He said, you put it to death. That's what you do with it. Here's another practical test for us. If something that we do or say or think is not demonstrating that we are putting Christ first, it is most probably wrong and most likely needs to change. Thoughts and words and deeds, they all need very simply to become servant to the Lordship of Christ in my life. And that has to happen if I am to gain everything that Christ wants me to enjoy. Christianity is not about giving up a lot of things. I think I thought that when I first came to faith. I thought that I wrestled with that. I thought, well, now that I'm a Christian, let's have the list. Let's have all of the stuff that I'm not allowed to do anymore. But Christianity is not about giving up a bunch of things, as many love to imagine. Christianity is new life. People who discover Jesus and make Jesus their Lord and their Savior will simply outgrow the things that they used to enjoy. They no longer interest them. Why? Because Christ is adding so much more to our lives that these other things don't matter so much anymore. That's how it works. A lot of the old stuff just gets chucked out because we're not going to use it anymore. Imagine going into a shop to buy some new clothes, but insisting that as you take them off the rack, that you're going to try them on over the ones that you're already wearing. Weird, right? But that is a lot of what we do as Christians. We try the new life on without taking the old one off. And for someone here today, maybe it's you. Maybe you need to say, you know what? As a Christian, I need to take the old life and put it aside so that I can put on this brand new life that Christ is giving me. We put on the garment of the new life over our old nature, and it simply doesn't fit or look right. Let's have a look at another bit of scripture that comes from the same book of Colossians. It's in chapter 4. We've skipped out those very difficult verses that talk about husbands and wives. And let's follow these together. From Colossians 4, 2-6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know the answer, may know how to answer everyone. So let's unpack that. Devote yourselves to prayer. I know that there are a few really genuine prayer warriors in our church. People who really do pray all the time, pray often. Thank you. You have no idea how important that is in the life, blood, and the ministry of the church. But devotion to prayer is often a weak spot for most of us. We're too busy, or we get distracted, or actually, we're just lazy. However, momentum comes into our lives as we continue to pray, as we become devoted to lives that will just stop and say, you know what? We need to pray about it. We need to hand this over to God. We need to ask God to intervene. We need to ask God to protect or to deliver or to heal or whatever it is. And we are given some really great ideas in the scripture here this morning about what to pray about. Don't forget, we're talking about momentum. We're talking about practical things that just allow us to grow in our Christian lives. Being aware of prayer needs and aware of things to thank God for. Piera talked about in testimony just now about how last week made him go away and think about what he was saying thank you for. Asking God, please open the doors for the gospel to reach other people. Maybe it's people who are near to you. Maybe you're praying for another land and another people group. Praying that the mystery of Christ, because the whole story of Jesus, the whole gospel is a huge mystery to us. Pray that it is told over and over and over again. Pray that people in Worthing don't have to go very far before they encounter someone who wants to tell them the story of Jesus. Pray for persecuted Christians and persecuted churches. Find out who they are. Pray for them by name. Ask the Lord to look after people who we know in 2015 are being persecuted for their faith. And also, pray for anyone who ever gets up in a place like I am today to preach. Preach that they are powerfully, powerfully used by God to proclaim the truth. And we're reminded that the verses here in Colossians 3, or the verses we looked at in Colossians 3, were all about the inner life. But these verses that we're looking at in Colossians 4 are about the outer life. We must build within. We must cultivate our lives so that we can start to see fruit growing in our own lives. Verse 5 of this scripture says, "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody." This is the way that we present Christ to our families. This is the way that we present Christ to Worthing. This is the way that we present Christ to our neighbors and our friends. Just a small reminder here. The word Christian, or the title, or the name Christian, actually means little Christs. How many of you never knew that before? A bunch of you? A lot of you did know that. So it's a reminder for you and a learning for some. Being a Christian is all about being little Christs. The story of the gospel did not end with the crucifixion and then the resurrection of Jesus. The story of the gospel continues in you and me. He is living in me. He is living in you. He is living in us. And his life is being told today by a living Bible that is you and me. And the only way that I can do that justice is to be dead to myself and alive in Christ. Let's start to wrap up here now this morning. From these two passages that we've looked at in Colossians 3 and 4, there are some things that we can do. I hope you notice on the screen there it says stuff we can do. It doesn't say stuff we can talk about. It doesn't say stuff we can think about, or it doesn't even say this is stuff that we expect other people to do. It says stuff that we can do. We can allow Christ's peace to rule in our hearts. And we can let Christ's mystery deeply inhabit us. We can act, think, and do always for Christ. Those things came from Colossians 3. And then from Colossians 4, we can sacrificially make time for prayer. Sometimes that means telly off favorite TV program out the window because it's time to pray. Just saying. And we can wisely, wisely live among Christians. Among non-Christians, I should say. Sometimes the best ways forward are the simple ones. And so I just want to ask you, as we begin to draw this together this morning, how are you doing with each of these things? How are you doing? And what do you want to do about it today? And even more important, what are you going to do about it today? Personally, I do an awful lot better with 1, 2, and 5 than I do with 3 and 4. And 3 and 4 is what pricks me this morning and what I want to do something about. But how about you? Sometimes we simply need to take a moment to reflect, accept, say that we're sorry, and start again to use the resources God has given us. Band's going to come back up. They're just going to play quietly for a bit. And we're going to do just exactly that this morning. Take a moment and reflect. If you're in a place in your life where you know that you are a follower of Jesus, you call yourself a Christian, you want to be one, and yet you know that there's this mismatch between how much you are surrendering to Christ and how much you're just doing it your own way, then do something in your heart. Do a transaction between you and Him today. Get it right. I'm not going to ask you to stand or to step forward or, you know, embarrass yourself in public. This is something between you and the living Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I would encourage you, though, that if something is triggered today, and you're going to go away and do something out of this morning's service, that you tell someone, tell your partnership group, tell someone in your family, tell someone here while you're having coffee afterwards, and then nail it down into real experience. Maybe the Lord is talking to you today and reminding you that you can have His peace. Life is a turmoil. You don't have peace. And you don't have it because you're not laying your life down. You're not dying to yourself and letting Christ live in you. Maybe there's some of this mystery of God, the mystery of the gospel, that you just can't quite figure out or get or understand, and you're needing to go to Him and saying, Lord, just help me. Help me to get it. Help me to receive it by faith. Or maybe God is speaking to you this morning about your prayer life. How much time you actually are spending with Him in prayer, how much you're yielding to Him and giving to Him and trusting Him for in prayer. Or maybe He's speaking to you this morning because you realize that a lot of the time you're one thing on a Sunday and something else during the week, and that needs to change. Whatever it is, bring it to the Lord this morning. Allow Him to minister to your heart, to touch you deeply. He wants you to know Him this way. He wants to bring you fullness, life, peace. Trust Him this morning.